Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Today you join me, Liam, and our resident West Australian, the sand groper, Mel, to chat about everyone's favourite team in the West, hers included, the West Coast Eagles. Mel, how keen are you to talk about the Eagles today?
Well, I do like that they're permanently at the bottom of the ladder as a Freo supporter. But yes, they've got a very exciting fantasy team, so I am actually quite excited for this chat.
That is some unbelievable shade thrown very early in the episode for a team that I actually expect to get better this year. But before they can get better, we have to talk about what was worse last year. So, Mel, what was the Eagles? What did they look like last season?
Yeah, they didn't look too good. So they came in 17th. They only pulled away 2 wins. So 8 losses and a percentage of only 50.8%. But as you said, they can't really get much worse than 17th. So hopefully this season will be on the up, and they've done a big shift in the off season to get them ready for it. They've done 9/10 trades, so lots of movement. We've got Ali Drennan coming in as a midfielder from Gold Coast, Roxy Roo over from Frio, Annabelle Johnson coming in as a defender from Geelong, Jess Hosking coming in as a delisted free agent from Richmond, and then 5 picks in the draft. Jess Wrench, Kaylee Cavanaugh, Georgie Cleaver, Matilda Sargent, and Verity Simmons.
You're really underselling it here. You're forgetting the biggest in, and that's their new coach.
True.
You've got Daisy.
True.
That's the biggest change they've had all off-season. They were also, for the first time in AFLW history, they fired a coach mid-season when they fired Michael Pryor after a win against Essendon last season in round 8.
Oh, yes. You remember that one, do you? I find when they do a change at the end of the season, by the time we get to the start of the next season, like that is set in my brain as something that just happened. So you're right. That was actually between season 8 and 9. So, yeah, that'll also be very exciting. But we've seen some outs. So 10 outs, assuming there was something going on with the list there that meant more outs than ins. But Sinead Davison going over to Brisbane. Eleanor Hartill, Ash McCarthy over to Freo. That's a good one. We've had a couple of retired players, Kate Bartlett, Emma Humphreys, Amy Schmidt, friend of the pod, Jess Segeneri and Izzy Simmons, and 2 delistings. So lots of movement.
Nice, and you've nailed almost all of the names there, which
almost?
I think for First Clubs in Days episode, Kaylee Cavanaugh was an interesting one. But you did nail Jess Segeneri, which has been a problem one for you in the past.
I actually didn't even prepare these, and as I started saying Jess Wrench, I was like, oh no, I feel a sinking in my heart that I've now got to pronounce 10 names and I have not prepared them. But no,
Well, we've started on a high.
Yeah.
First team preview of the year, and you've nailed the first name. Speaking of starting on a high, let's get to our interview today. We've got someone you just mentioned, Mel, and that is a fan favourite on fantasy circles and recent arrival from Gold Coast. We've got Ali Drennan, and we've got a voice that some of you may not have heard if you've not listened to the first episode of the year, and that's Jono. Here with an interview, I'll throw to him straight away. Enjoy that chat, and then you'll come back and join us for our top 5 most relevant players.
Well, welcome, Ali, to the podcast. Very good to have you on. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jono. Yeah, it's good to be on the podcast.
Look, I guess to start with, you've picked yourself up and moved from the Gold Coast over to Perth, which is about as far across the country as you possibly could have. Can you tell us a little bit about what made you choose to do that?
Yeah, I like traveling. It just got to the end of last season. I think me and my partner were ready for a change. So, we started putting the feelers out. And once we had a little visit over here to check out what West Coast was like, and as soon as we got here, we just thought like it felt really positive, the environment. Like all the staff just seemed really cool, really easy to get along with. Yeah, really chatty, all that kind of stuff. I guess it matters, you know. You first meeting people, how will you connect straight away? And then obviously, like, you know, the facilities are incredible here. Like, you just want to get in and get training. which is always a bonus as well. And meeting the girls, you know, straight away, they were just, yeah, great people, easy to get along with as well, which just makes, you know, playing on a team a lot easier.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. I feel like you always hear about West Coast being this big club, but I'm in Victoria, obviously. I don't know exactly what it's like, so it's good to hear they've got all the facilities and everything set up so well.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. They've got this indoor shed, which I'm sure a lot of clubs have now, but I just thought it was pretty impressive and, you know, impressive gym, all that sort of stuff, and two ovals to train on. It's a pretty good little setup.
Yeah. And speaking of the support staff around you, you've got Daisy Pierce coming in as the new head coach, champion of the game. How's it been training under her so far this preseason?
Yeah, it's crazy, hey. Like, I think when she first called me up, I was so starstruck. I did. Like, I usually find talking very easily, but yeah, when she called me, I was a bit like, you know, tripping over my words. I didn't know what to say. I was a bit spooked. No, it's been amazing. Like, you can just tell from day one, you know, how intelligent she is and how much she knows about the game. And I've already picked up so many little gems from working with her. Like, just a little film session here and there, you learn so much. And it's not just about what you're doing on the field, but how what you do affects everybody else on the field. So she's got that bigger picture mindset, which is really, it's just really good to pick her brain.
I think it took maybe a week for her to call out your work rate around the contest and things like that. I suppose I'm wondering what are the sort of things that you're trying to bring to the club, being probably one of the more experienced heads in the West Coast team?
Yeah. I know, they all think I'm really serious and experienced till they meet me, and then they realize, oh geez, she's a bit silly. I think with this team, you know, I'm just trying to be a player, I guess, that gets my teammates involved in the game. We've got a lot of speed and a lot of run on the outside, and we've got some really, you know, exciting young players. And so I think coming to this team, I kind of thought, I'd like to be a person that gets my team going and can see the strengths of my teammates and pick out their strengths and hopefully, you know, get that to shine on game day. So, I've already had some autumn series games and that was what I was trying to work on, you know, getting some of those girls out in space. But, yeah, it's awesome to be a part of this group. They're so talented. I don't think people realize how talented this group is.
Oh, I feel like it's full of a lot of young talent. And there's also been just so much change again for the Eagles this offseason. I think you're one of 9 new players that landed at the club. How's it been, I suppose, trying to gel with everyone with this new mix coming in?
It's been really easy, actually. Like, I guess, you know, the media does always speak about that and go, oh, big changeover, there's going to be problems. But it's been really, seamless. Just coming in, you know, having Jess Hosking as well, just being such a great person for team morale and for culture. It just feels like she's a bit of a glue that brings everybody together. So having her come in has been amazing. Then, you know, we've got a lot of young talent as well. Like you said, Jess Wrench coming in, you know, just boosting the team. So, yeah, the old girls have been really receptive to all the new ones coming in. And it's been, it's actually been really good. good vibes.
No, that's great. Yeah. I feel like Jess Hosking was one of the biggest surprises in that off-season period, going, I can't believe that she's moved on. It must be great just having her around. Is she going to be, I have no clue where she could play, because I feel like she's got so many skills. Do you know where she's going to be playing this season?
Look, I probably shouldn't be like giving away all the clues. but no, she's so versatile. Like, she's definitely someone who could play off halfback. You know, I know that we're looking at her as in the mids, inside and on the wing. And I know she's being looked at for the forward line as well. But, you know, she's just so versatile. She can play any role and she'll do anything for the team. So, you know, those are the kind of people you want on your team, is just anybody who's willing to sacrifice their game and do what the team needs. It's pretty impressive.
I hear the club recently had their preseason camp down in the south, and during that you elected the leadership team, and you've yet again chosen to be led by Emma Swanson, who's one of the longest running captains at the moment in the AFLW. What have your first impressions been of her?
Yeah, I think my first impressions coming to the club was, wow, she's got amazing biceps. She's pretty ripped, eh? she's just an impressive person. Like, what she brings to the club, her leadership, you know, the way that she just speaks her mind. Yeah, I find that really, really good for our group. Somebody who can just cut straight to the chase and say exactly what we need to hear is just important. And then, yeah, she's also got a really silly side as well. So, you know, sometimes when she cracks jokes, I just look at her twice like, did she really just say that? Like, I thought she was pretty serious. And then she'll say, she'll drop a joke and I'll be killing myself laughing, thinking, oh, my God, I didn't think she was that funny. But, nah, she's good. She's, yeah, and obviously, like, you know, the way she competes and what she brings to the field is, yeah, like you always know what you're going to get from her. She's always going to bring top game and work really hard, and she's got great skills as well. So I think she's a great person to be our captain.
I feel like she's one of the most consistent performers, even from a fantasy point of view. And sometimes, I don't know, I heard recently that she's been carrying an injury for the last couple of seasons and that that's mostly been resolved now, which is kind of ominous for the rest of the comp to have to deal with.
Yeah, she's had a hip injury for the last couple of years, and she didn't really know how bad it was until she got the surgery in the off season. And now she's, yeah, she's like, oh, my God, I didn't realize how much it was kind of like weighing me down. And now I'm feeling so, so good, so free. So, yeah, it's awesome to see. She's such a powerful runner, and then she's got her football ability as well. It's, yeah, she's a dangerous player.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that we've been looking at is that Dana Hooker is obviously going to miss the upcoming season being pregnant.
Yeah.
And with Ash McCarthy heading out of the side in the offseason as well, it feels like there's going to be a lot of different West Coast in the middle. Who are the sort of players that you're expecting to see run through there throughout the season?
Yeah, I think we've got a you know, a fair few players. I think that's kind of the style now in AFLW. I think initially it was like, you know, you've got your four mids and that's it. Whereas now people, you know, with the longer games, that teams are looking to have more players run through the midfield and give a bit more explosiveness in parts of the game. So, you know, we're looking at our young players like Ella Roberts and Bella Lewis, who played snippets in there last year. You know, Swanee's obviously back up and ready to go. You know, Hosko might come in there a little bit as well. And then we've got, yeah, a couple of younger players as well that are just getting back from their injuries and that kind of stuff. Bushby, she's another one. Yeah, we'll have a couple of girls going through the mid, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah, no, it does sound like a lot of players, yeah.
Yeah, it does. I'm just like trying to get my head around, like, thinking about all the mids. But yeah, no, it should be good. I think they're just going to throw some players in as well here and there and just, yeah, see what happens. Just that, yeah, little burst of energy that you need mid-game or something like that.
On players like Lewis and Roberts and Wrench, there's so much potential for them. What is the development looking like for them at the moment this preseason?
Yeah, it's hard to know what they were, you know, training like last year. You see them in the games, but, yeah, you're hard to know what they look like day by day. But, yeah, they're great players. They're just so – they're so fast, and they're such good runners. And then they find the ball as well. And when they get the ball, they just burst out of the pack and just add so much flair and excitement to the game. So, yeah, I think we can expect big things from them this season. You know, obviously, Ranch, it's their first year. The other two are a little bit further along. So might just take that little bit longer to get that game awareness and that to up to that level of AFLW straight away. But obviously a massive future ahead of her. She's a really powerful player as well. And, yeah, she's just see ball, get ball, really tough sort of player. So it's exciting to see what she'll bring to our team as well.
Yeah. I think it's a few times now you've mentioned bringing speed and some flair to the game.
Yeah.
Is that something we can expect from Daisy Pierce's new game plan, or what can we expect, I guess?
I think she's a very, you know, encouraging and positive coach. Like, couldn't believe how many times I heard compliments the first couple of weeks I was in the building, and I was just like, oh, wow, like she's really boosting everybody up. Like, this is really nice, you know. Yeah, and she just encourages us to bring our strengths and play our game style, and we just happen to have a lot of flair on the team. So I think it's going to be really exciting to see everybody, you know, yeah, bring in that strength and the way that they play the game their own way and add their own kind of style to the game, which is always really entertaining. So, yeah, I think Daisy's just encouraging us to be ourselves. Obviously, she's been teaching us a game plan and she wants us to fit within that, but she still wants us to be ourselves, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear.
It is.
Yeah. I guess just on one final question for you. If you could pull down one player that you have been the most excited watching this preseason and someone you're looking forward to playing alongside in 2024, who would that be?
Oh, boy. There's so many. Can I say two? Can I say one that's kind of probably people don't expect? One that probably, people don't expect is Puddles. Oh my gosh, what is her real name? I don't even. We'll start with Ella Roberts. Because she's just, she's so speedy, and the way she can get away from her defenders is incredible. I've never seen anybody who can just blitz away from their opponents that quick, and just her chase down tackles as well is just incredible. But God, what's Puddle's real name? Babe, what's Puddle's real name? Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Can we edit this out?
We could edit this out. That's entirely fine.
Okay.
Puddles. Yeah. Oh, how did that nickname even start?
I don't even know. She's the ruck. I just don't. Oh my God, I really only know. I've had a blank.
Are we talking about Sarah Lakai or Lauren Rackfer?
Yeah.
Sarah. Yes. Sarah.
She's just really impressive. Yeah, because I hadn't seen a lot of her because last year she was injured with her back injury. And then, she's come back into training, and just how she can run, like she can actually cover the field for such a strong, taller, bigger person. Like the way she can run is really impressive, and she's really aggressive around the contest. And then just, the way that she can place the ball as well is just, I'm really impressed with her. So I think we can expect big things from her this year.
Oh, that's exciting to hear. I feel like a couple seasons ago before she hurt herself, I just love watching the power she had in those ruck contests. So if she's got a full running game outside of that, that's going to be great for West Coast.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have her back and see what she does to our midfield.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck in the upcoming season.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thanks for covering our team.
Well, that was a fascinating discussion. Thank you, Jono, for leading what should be an interview that we'll look back on fondly for all of the little nuggets that it's come with. Mel, I'm going to throw to you first. Who is your most relevant player from West Coast? And I'm seeing it here in the run sheet, and I don't think it's going to come as a surprise to the listener.
No, absolutely not. It's got to be Ella Roberts. Midfielder priced at 84. In only her second season last year, she showed us that she's already en route, if not already at premium status. Some lovely notes here written by Liam, actually. Capability to mark like a forward, read the play like a defender, and accumulate and tackle like a mid. I was having a look at that. I was like, can't say it any better. So it was great to see her in the midfield at the back end of last year. And when she was there, she got a massive average of 105. We know she's got the ceiling. She put out a huge 122 in round 10 against Adelaide. And actually, in good news for fantasy coaches, she had one low outlier score in round 8 versus Essendon, as Liam was mentioning before. And that actually helps us because now she's going to have a slightly lower average coming in. So there's already going to be a bit of potential there, let alone the fact that she's a breakout star going into her third season.
Yeah, it's. I was almost disappointed when I had the thought that maybe for the first season in three seasons that I wasn't going to be able to pick Ella Roberts in my team, but her midfield form, and then also hearing from Ali Drennan that she's going to be a full-time mid, we know that she's got real 100-plus scoring average potential in there. That weird game against Essendon, she did not play a single CBA, and also it was blowing an absolute gale up at Windy Hill. Very apt name on that day, and so her marks were down and her possessions were down. But, Ella Roberts is a serious option for me at M3 this season with, I would say, a comfortable 15 points of upside. So love the pick up top. We're not exactly going to be dropping down particularly far either. Mel, who's your second most relevant player at West Coast?
Yeah, so we've got Charlie Thomas, another breakout star. So 2023 was a great year for her. So he's priced at 73. That includes a round one score where she probably had an injury because it was quite low.
She got stuck on the bench as well in the last quarter. I think she had only 10% time on ground.
I do remember that. Since then, though, she's had a pretty consistent 70 average or so, and that's excluding a game where she had a huge ceiling of 111. So we love to see these young players, massive ceilings, consistently high scores. The only kind of potential flag, and I'm not sure this is a very big one at all, actually, but if the Eagles get better, how much will the ball be back there? Are we going to potentially limit her ability to rack up the points? I kind of feel that one, that's not going to happen overnight. And then also she's a good enough player that I think she'll still have involvement, even if the ball for some reason doesn't touch the Eagles' defence as much. So I think she's a pretty good lock regardless.
Yeah, I think she's comfortable to be in the top five defenders. My only query as well is the West Coast Eagles last year were often trying to limit massive scores, and so there was a lot of ball control inside the D50 for Charlie Thomas. I do wonder that with a new coach, there may be an emphasis on moving the ball faster, knowing that Daisy has come from Melbourne, where there was a lot of ball movement speed emphasis there. I do wonder if there may be that a potential that in the opening rounds she doesn't have as high scores. I still think by the end of the year we'll still be talking about her as a 70-plus averaging player. So it's a little bit of a risk, a little bit of a flag, but it's not a full don't even think about her.
Yep. And so she's still number two for me.
Yeah, agreed. So moving across, we've really hit in some of our favourite notes here. Mel, who have you got at number three? It's one we've talked about many times before.
She's been a regular in my fantasy teams over the year. We've got Emma Swanson, midfielder, priced at 93. So she's an experienced midfielder. We can see that when she wants to, she can turn it up, get fantasy scores over 100. And while we know that the Eagles might want to rotate some of their younger midfielders and their new recruits through that line, Swanston's been a constant. She's very rarely had a funky position change, and she's been pretty consistent there. And so this was my notes, you know, before the interview. And then Ali Drennan mentioning that she's had a hip injury and that she will now potentially be coming in and playing
for
at full potential.
As well.
2 seasons. And she's shown in that time multiple scores over 100. Like she's still been everywhere. You can't miss her with the braids. So if she's coming in doing the same thing she always does, she's already a good contender. And then if she's coming in at full energy, there's a potential that she even kind of increases that average up to the hundreds.
Yeah, I think she's going to be a fascinating watch for me in the preseason because I think she's also got some capability to sit off halfback. She's been a defender in the past. So I'm fascinated to see where they put Emma Swanson, but I'm also fascinated to see if we notice some change in her energy around the ground and whether or not she looks laboured, because I too was fascinated to hear that she'd had an injury. I think she was two scores over 100 in the back half of the year. We're in rounds 9 and 10. So she's a fascinating option. She's priced at 93, so pretty expensive, but I think she will almost certainly be a player we chat about during the season if things go as we're expecting. Now, going from three, well,
she's not what I've started with before, but she's always a good option when things are going haywire or when we know we're going to be playing to the fixtures. When you're looking for a fixture contender for the midfield who's reliable, she's one that I think we'll be talking about more.
Well, speaking of players that we're going to be talking about more, it's going to have to be talking about more because I don't reckon we've mentioned her on any episode we've ever done. Mel, who have you got at pick four?
Yeah, I'm excited by this one. So we've got Jess Hosking. Defender, priced at 42. She's come over to the Eagles this season. Very sad to be split up from her twin sister at Richmond. But I think this will present great opportunities for her, you know, football-wise and fantasy-wise. She's coming in as an experienced utility and she'll slot in pretty well with some of the Eagles' younger side or young players. Her price out of 42 includes some very low scores at the back end of last season, including a 0 in round 3. So she had hurt her, I think, ankle and played the game but didn't touch the ball. So she walked away with a 0 from that one. And unfortunately, she didn't come back after that ankle. So that was the last we saw of her last season. But she'll be coming in fit and ready. However, in last season, in round 1, we saw her play a lot of midfield time. So if this means that she's coming into the side, getting rotations in the midfield while listed as a defender and priced at 42 in a club that's got a little bit more freedom for her to run around, I think she could be very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that she comes into a younger side as an experienced utility that provides me with a glimmer of upside. I think she's gone.
A glimmer.
Well, I'll get there. But I think given that she's priced at a discount on previous seasons, I think she's gone at mid-50s in the past. And I think, as you'll find out talking about these episodes, there's not a lot of great defensive options in that priced at 40s range where we've typically looked for a D3 or a D4, depending on our structure. I think she's a name we're going to watch in the preseason. I loved that to hear that she's training in lots of different groups, but I'd love to know if she's actually locked down a role that can be high scoring. So she's definitely on the watch list. She's just probably not in my team at the moment. But see, so that's why there's a glimmer of upside. It's not the full, like, a shining star of upside that we'd like.
You know what? She's number four, so I'll take a glimmer.
No, and it's not like we're going to have to dim the lights that much further to get to five now. Who have you got?
Oh, so number five, we've got Sarah Lakai, the ruck priced at 64. She was named by Ali as the player that she feels will be the most improved in 2024. We didn't get to see much of Sarah Lakai in season 8 due to injury, and she ended up giving that ruck role over to Lauren Wakfa. The reason that she is here as number five, though, is that she's a tempting pick as a ruck because she's priced at 53, even though she averaged 63. I might have butchered that on the intro, but that's okay. I've clarified it now. but she's a more experienced ruck than Wakfa, but also there's now two rucks. Who is going to take that primary ruck role? Is Wakfa potentially a little bit injured off the back of last season? Is Lakai fully healed? We're not too sure. So that's given it a watch and wait there. But if she could take the primary ruck role, potential for growth, would you pick her given that she's so mid-priced when you've got usually like a primo or a rookie in this spot? Maybe not, but could be someone for mid-season change.
Yeah, I think for me it's the fact that in previous years that we've played, we've had a bevy of rookie rucks that we think will get prime ruck time. Last year we had three. In seasons past we've had at least two. I don't know if we're going to get that this year in the same kind of way, so we're going to have to start thinking premiums and also mid-priced options, which we haven't really done in the past.
Oh, Lakai, mid-price madness on rucks. That's going to be great. That is so chaos squared.
Yes, it's giving Celine Moody from two seasons ago for those who have listened to us for a long time.
Oh,
so,
no.
I think Sarah Lakai is, if she's playing full-time ruck, she's a younger player but has shown moments where her points per minute work is pretty good. She does love to lay a tackle, and I think will definitely benefit from a new coaching setup. So I'm not locking into my side. I'm not saying anyone needs to, but keep your name on her. Watch her in the preseason. Watch her in the match sim. I think she's going to be a fascinating little pick.
Keep your name on her.
Keep your eyes on her. Keep your eyes on her name. Keep your names on her eyes. You know what I mean.
Name her eyes. Well, anyway, now we get to the host special. Liam, who have you got for us as someone else that's of fantasy interest at the West Coast Eagles?
Well, I had a host of options because a team that's had nine players come in and a new coach, there's always going to be some fantasy relevancy there. I could have had a look at Roxy Rue, who's priced as a rookie. You got Annabelle Johnson, who comes across as a defender from Geelong. Also could have picked Jess Wrench, who has put together a relatively tidy average of 62 in the Waffle W this season with four tackles as well, but I don't know if she's going to get the mid-roll straight away. So, funnily enough, the pick that slid through to me as the host special is actually our interviewee, and that's Ali Drennan. So we've talked about the fact that there's obviously a lot of changeover in the midfielder. Ash McCarthy is gone, and also Dana Hooker is going to be missing this season because she's having a baby. So I think Ali Drennan comes across from the Gold Coast where her midfield role had really dropped away with the emergence of Lucy Single and Claudia Whitfitt. But in the past and in season 7, she averaged 83.2. But what really fascinates me is her points per minute is really, really high when she did that. She was going at 1.52 points per minute. So to put that into context...
1.52.
To put that into context, the superstar points per minute players are Ash Riddell, Jazz Garner and Ebony Marinoff, and they're all in the high 1.6, low 1.7s. But if you want to look at players that you'd actually expect to be premium midfielders who actually go at a points per minute lower than Ali Drennan, you're looking at Ali Anderson and both Press Parker sisters, both going at 1.3 and 1.4. Mm. So I think that if Ali Drennan is a full-time midfielder and being able to do that in a season where there are longer quarters and given that she is a very fit athlete, I think that she might present 10, 15 points of value for someone that's looking to take a bit of a haircut at their M3 or M2 because, you know, we don't have that many ruck options or you don't like the forward, so you're going premiums high there. So one to keep your eye on. She's someone we know has 115, 120 ceiling as well. She just doesn't necessarily always have those high-scoring games, but she comes into a young side this year, and I really like her potential.
Hmm. Sounds like a great pick.
And given I was batting about 50-50 on my host specials last year, I had some absolute nightmares, but then I also picked Mim Strom. So who's to know what Ali Drennan will be when it comes to a host special? And on that fascinating little pick there, I do believe that's the end of our episode. Next up, we've got one of my favourite teams to watch and also one of my favourite teams to be frustrated by. We've got the GWS Giants. So be sure to be looking at your podcast's feeds in the near future to see that one come out. Until then, see ya.